AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Today we have Sam and Roger. You know, it's quite Arsenal and Chelsea. That's okay. I'll try to be the unbiased Arsenal fan. I'll try as much as possible, but it's okay. Anyway, I feel like starting with Madrid today because I actually just literally finished watching them. And I have a few thoughts, especially on Xabi Alonso. What are you guys' general thoughts about Xabi and how you think he will fare in Madrid, first of all?
I think, so he's still a relatively young manager. I'll definitely give him that, right? And to go to Madrid where you have some of the best players with also the biggest personalities, I'm interested in seeing how he'll manage that versus a Bayer Leverkusen where you have more even-keeled individuals who also, I just feel like, don't have too much of their pride in front of them. So I think it's just going to be a managing personality thing in terms of how he's going to fare at Madrid, because the talent is obviously there. You know, it's just, are the players going to press? Are they going to follow the tactics? But all in all, I haven't watched the game yet besides what the summer friendly. So you might be able to say more on that as well.
Sam, what do you think? I guess the biggest thing we have is the Club World Cup. That's the biggest data we have.
I like Xabi Alonso. He's a fantastic coach, in my opinion. I followed when he was at Leverkusen, this two seasons before that and last season as well. Mm-hmm. It was going to be hard to mimic what he did the season before. I mean, he didn't lose domestically at all. And he went all through the Europa League all the way to the final before he finally capitulated. So I think he's a wonderful coach who can do a lot with little. Now, Madrid is a different beast. Like Roger said, there are a lot of egos there. I'll be interested to see if he can make them, you know, reignite their press, you know, and their press and their ball playing and build up a lot of things that were a bit like lackluster last season for them. I particularly find it interesting that he technically still plays with a back four, but when you see them build up, they are like a back three. I don't know if he did that in today's game, but it's usually like Tchouaméni like dropping in to the defense and then forming a back three with the center backs. I was interested to, that was actually my biggest interest, to see if he could, if he was going to build Madrid into a, but in a back three mold, the way he had at Leverkusen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the time, as of when he came, Madrid were definitely not built for a back three. So seeing how he made an artificial back three from it by pushing Tchouaméni back was interesting in the least. I know that Ade Güler is a big part of what he wants to do. I want to see how far that guy can blossom in that position, besides, you know, Valverde or Bellingham when he's fit. And then, of course, Rodrigo. Would like to see how that would pan out. Because I think out of all the stars there, I think Rodrigo, maybe Brian Diaz as well, are the people that would press and run and move relentlessly. obviously Bellingham is part of that. So it'll be good to watch. Will they be able to match Barcelona's firepower right now? I don't know, but I think it's a step in the right direction for them. So. I mean,
Opta has them as favorites to win the league, so which I find interesting.
Really? They don't have Barcelona as favorites to retain the title?
They have Madrid as favorites.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, I disagree with them humbly. But what was I going to say? Speaking of Rodrigo, I don't even think he considered Rodrigo a big part of his team. He didn't even play today. And every single time he's played is from the bench.
So is he saying at Madrid, I'm confused?
Yeah,
and
that's
if,
what
so, why are you saying I'm confused? I don't understand that. Even if he doesn't go to Arsenal, right? Which I thought was going to be the case early on in this. Actually, did I really realistically think so? No. But go to City, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see why he would stay. But we've seen stranger things, like Bill staying for multiple seasons without playing. But so I don't see what he's doing. Because now they have those kids, Franco Mastoni or Mastostoni, who came on today.
Is it the Argentinian kid?
Yeah, he came on today. Rodrigo was on the bench.
Wow.
And the camera kept going to him.
Clearly. To Rodrigo? That's funny.
Yeah. They had Gonzalo, the guy who balled out at the Club World Cup, is before Rodrigo. So as Gonzalo, what's his name, the Franco kid, and Diaz are all above Rodrigo in the pecking order right now. So and he's on
you
huge.
You talking about Garcia?
Yeah, the Garcia boy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I really don't see any. They seem to be quite stacked in front. I don't see what Rodrigo is there to do, except just walk the bench.
I don't even think Rodrigo is the most unlucky Brazilian in that situation. I think it's Endrick.
Oh,
that's
true.
I don't know where that boy is going to go, man. But it looks like
he should go alone.
Yeah, it has to be alone for him.
Yes, but he has time. Rodrigo's at his peak. He has to be starting.
Where would you see? Where do you guys see Rodrigo going to? Because in City, unless they let Savinho go, I don't think he.
Yeah, and also there's the Bob, Oscar Bob.
Oscar Bob on the right. I think he would prefer to play off the left anyways.
Actually, yeah, the left.
Yeah,
but
so Doku's who's on the left? There. There's Doku there. There was Grealish before him.
Okay, there's space for him now.
But then you have to find space for Foden too. Because Foden didn't start this weekend.
Yeah, Foden probably
will. Yeah, that's true.
The right or the left.
Yeah, they're going to have to find space for him. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen before September 1st. I think that would be a good indicator to see where everybody is.
Yeah.
I think you guys are pretty much done, Arsenal.
Well, the best place for Rodrigo is Arsenal. That left is very big. It's big hands for him.
You're not. Barca is not going to let that money go for him. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Also, but on that thing I noticed today, I think Xabi, I don't think Xabi will win the league, but I think he will do well eventually. His biggest thing he has to sort out would probably be the Vini situation, because he did not look good today at all. And yeah, Mbappe is going, is the distance between Mbappe and Vini is increasing the more games I watch. And which is funny, because he's in the middle of a contract dispute, so you'd expect him to do a wild court and be boiling out now. But he's not playing well. I think he's even trying too hard and looking worse. Also, Trent did not look that great at all. Neither defensively.
Did he get subbed off?
He got subbed off. Both attacking wise and defensively did not look good. Carvajal looked much better for someone who came back, who just came from Cruyff, from ACL. He's definitely gonna start eventually. I saw one situation where they played a long ball, and the usual trend appeared. The guy, he does not know how to deal with long. He's great at playing the long ball, but he's very bad at defending it.
Oh wow!
I honestly don't. Well, it's definitely too early to say, but the Madrid move is going to be an interesting one, just because I don't know. So he physically even struggled in the Prem, but it's also the Prem. But I just don't see him also matching too much of the physicality of La Liga, that may be, I don't know if that's too early of a thought. I just don't see him succeeding there right now. It doesn't fit for me.
Wait, you mean Rodrigo?
No, my Trent.
Oh, Trent. You don't see succeeding in Madrid. I actually thought he would
maybe eventually, but also I think he just needs a good run of fitness as well. But he's such a defensive liability in my opinion. But I guess what he adds to offense negates that. I don't know. I don't know how these coaches analyze his position or himself.
So it's the offensive part. It's the offensive part that I was surprised at how poor he was today. Like none of his balls connected at all. But yeah, Sam, you about to say something?
Oh no, I think I'm actually of the other opinion that I think he will succeed.
Yeah, I think he should.
Yeah, I think if Madrid have been in need of a true passer since Cruz left, mm-hmm. right? And I think that was also the reason why they were trying to, you know, accelerate, you know, Adegüler into the midfield. Don't even think they need to go too far. I think Trent being there allows them to have like a long ball specialist, a, you know, cross field passer, like all those things that made Cruz very, very, you know, world renowned. I think there are certain elements of that can be mimicked with Trent. Now, yeah, he struggled in the Prem, but his overall contribution superseded, like covered for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he struggled. I wouldn't say he struggled in the Prem.
Oh no. When I think physically he struggled in the Prem. I think that if a winger does not beat Trent, we start looking at the winger funny. There have been, I remember 2 seasons ago, like Klopp's last season. I think mm-hmm. that was when Mitoma came in. That was like Mitoma's mm-hmm. breakout year. That was one of the.
Yeah, wouldn't you say he succeeded, but he struggled defensively? I think as
I think that's what Roger was saying. I didn't think he said he failed. I just said physically he struggled in the Prem, and I agree with that too. There was almost no winger that did not beat Trent. Like I put it to you, like no high level winger. You know the Prem has like 20 teams, of course. I don't think there's any high level winger in Europe or in the Champions League or in the Premier League that did not at least fancy taking on Trent, for lack of a better term. If they may not have succeeded, but at least they fancied him, in my opinion.
You know what I think, though? I think he'll have the same issues in La Liga. But the thing is that I think his attacking ability would offset that.
Yeah, which is why I think he will still succeed. That's my point. Yeah. Which is why I think that he will still succeed. And if Alonso uses him well enough, I think mm-hmm. they instantly solve that hole that they've had since Kroos left. Not in the same position, obviously, but mm-hmm. in that capacity, for lack of a better term. You get what I mean?
Yep. Well, one more thing before we move on from Trent. Yes, I think his attacking ability will offset his defensive liability. But the issue he might struggle with in Madrid fan base, they have the kind of the patience that's required for him, because I think the more he has games like this, the less patience they'll probably have. I don't think their fan base are supportive as, say, Liverpool, who they will defend him, but I mean, yeah.
Especially is he's not one of their own at all.
If Trent played for like a Man U or even an Arsenal with those defensive behaviors, I don't know if our fans would be as patient as Liverpool fans, to be honest. Especially if they were not winning. So if Madrid is not winning and the fans are getting on his back, especially how good Carvajal is.
He might have issues. And no offense, or not even trying to say anything about La Liga or Spanish teams, but Spain in general, if you look at it, not to bring stuff like this into it, but there, you know, Trent is a little brown here. He's brown and he's English.
Bring stuff into it. I'm pro talking about these situations, please.
You know, so like they will turn on him quickly if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, that's
like even quicker than they would if he was a little more lighter, fair-skinned, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, these are people that have turned on, even people like Bill or Ronaldo.
So, you know, or even, okay, let's even negate the fact of his color. Just the fact that he's also English, you know. I think there's always a bit of a narrative whenever an English player does even go to the Spanish league or the Italian league. You know, there's extra pressure to succeed. And when or if you don't succeed, there is more blame immediately. You're used as the scapegoat. So that's one thing to look out for. Another thing that I'm worried about, yes, his offensive abilities will probably translate easily into that league, but the Madrid backline in general is so unbalanced, in my opinion. You have Dean, is it Huijsen? How do I pronounce the last name?
Dean Huijsen. He played well today, though.
Oh, okay.
He played pretty well
today. And I believe he played well, but he's also a more dynamic ball player.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Playing center back, and then you have Rudiger, who's more the destroyer, and who's that one guy that came through their rankings last year that I honestly don't rate personally?
The long head is the white player.
You know who I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that, and then, yeah, I just don't. And then is Fran Garcia still their left back?
Are you talking about Raul Garcia? Raul Asensio, sorry?
Yes, Asensio. I don't rate him, in my opinion.
I don't think he's going to play for them. He doesn't have, like, legal issues.
Oh, I think I saw that. But who's their left back? Is it Fran Garcia?
There's a the
guy. Or did they buy that guy from Benfica? Did I see that or something?
A new guy, the Carrera.
Yeah, I think that's who I'm referring to. So yeah, we'll have to see how he plays. But in general, from what I know and understood and watched the Madrid side last year, it seems like that back line is unbalanced. So we'll see. That's my opinion on it, at least.
I think he'll play well, but the only thing is, if he doesn't, I don't think he will struggle to get in the first team the
way. What if Militao is, you know, comes back to full form?
Who?
Militao.
Militao and Distin play today.
They play today.
Tyson.
Yeah. Don't you feel like that's a good enough back line? I think they kept
I think about how he's starting going forward, judging by today at least. I think he'll start. I think they'll
start. Starting? I mean, I see your point with Trent in that he probably cannot be as efficient as he used to be in Liverpool and stuff. But like, I see that point also in the fact that Carvajal is a pure fullback. Like, he's very solid in that position. I think he was the reasons why, one of the reasons at least, why they won all the Champions Leagues and all that. But he's getting older and he's just coming back from a year-long injury. For him to come and be benching Trent, that would be crazy work. Especially after Trent did all the whole facade with Liverpool just to be on the bench in Real Madrid. But we'll see.
I'd be surprised if Carvajal benches Trent. Like, I'll be surprised if Trent doesn't make it in Madrid. I'd be very, very surprised.
I think he'll make it, but I feel like this season, like, eventually I see Carvajal starting more games. Then they'll probably rotate them, but I feel like Carvajal might start more games.
Why do you say eventually when Carvajal is trying to phase him out? That's kind of why.
Just the difference in Madrid level when Carvajal came on and Trent went off. I wish you watched it. It was quite something. I was like, oh, wow.
Okay, so you that watched it now, what would you say the difference in level on playing? Like, what was the...
So, Carvajal, Trent, I expected to actually offer a lot more attacking-wise. But maybe he just didn't have it today, maybe because of the Club World Cup or whatnot. But his passes weren't connecting. And then he was getting beat with long balls in defense. He wasn't offering anything in attack. He didn't look that confident on the ball either. Then Carvajal came on, captain level, aura. Everything started going through him. He was offering a lot attacking-wise, and they became solid, more solid defensively as well. he just looked like it. You could feel the difference. I don't even have the words to put to describe it, but he just looked like, yeah, this guy should probably be starting. You know when Pesce Winners and people come on match? That's what it felt like. I was surprised. Even the commentator was like, wow, like he does not even look like someone who's had the ACL at all.
Caval ball today. I think, yeah, he played well too. I think part of Trent's issue in this team is probably that they don't, I guess maybe they don't play as many long balls. Like a lot of times they try to like pass to Vinny and Vinny will dribble.
Yeah.
And I don't really see the case where, yeah. So they don't really play to Trent's strengths, if anything. And Caval is like, he's a Madrid born and bred. So he probably understands their play better, Sha. But I'll be surprised if this guy doesn't play more games than Caval.
I think that's what, like, I agree with that point, okay? Because, like, in a lot of teams, like, there are players that have, like, they are the technical leaders of the team, right? Now, what I mean in that context is that when you're trying to get on the ball, you're trying to, you know, get going, right? Those are the people that the ball, like, naturally gravitates to, right? Yes. For Barcelona, a lot of the times, in build-up and stuff like that, or like to make something happen, it's usually Pedri. And in the attacking phase, it's clearly Lamine Yamal, right?
Uh-huh.
For Liverpool, which is why they were able to go for years without having to have a true long passer in their midfield, is because Trent was the technical leader of that side, right? The ball would come to him, he'd spray it, he'd cross it, he'd give like incisive passes, he'd start counterattacks with passes. And so that's kind of what Cruz was to Madrid, right? Cruz and Modric. If you remember like all the Madrid all-conquering sides of 2016, 2017, 2015, whatnot, like the ball was still, even till Cruz left, from a build-up point of view, before the ball finally gets to Vini, it usually goes through Toni Kroos because he's the mentor. Totally. So that's why I think that if Alonso eventually uses Trent that way, then he will be a success. For now, it's still Carvajal's team.
Yeah, they still look a lot like Ancelotti's team. I do not see any difference.
That'd be interesting to see. Okay.
But anyway, now you mentioned Liverpool. I saw Isak release the statement. When I see him, I talk Wahala. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I read a little bit on that as well.
Basically accused Newcastle of misleading others and failing to honor verbal promises and declared that trust had been lost. Do you guys think he stays?
I think if he stays, he stays for 6 months and then leaves in January.
I think he stays and he comes on like before the 10th game of the season.
How about you, Ope?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to stay. Newcastle budging like right now. They want their money all wrapped, and yeah. But if he stays, he has to play. So he has to come to, unless he wants his career to destroy, I think, if anything. But yeah, I see him staying and then probably leaving in January, like Roger mentioned. So
this is crazy work though. Apparently, he had agreed. For like a bigger contract with the previous board, and then they left, and he was now trying to like get the current Newcastle board to also honor the same agreement that the old board had left. I kind of get it from both sides, but it's just a very weird situation. So
I think it's fine because I used to be, I think we're all like indoctrinated to be like, oh yeah, the institution above everyone else, but I think when clubs do it and they just, you know, sideline a player is fine, you know. But when a player wants something better or has agreed, you know, something before and now he wants the same thing. And then apparently in this whole saga, he had even told Newcastle at the end, towards the end of last season with games to play, like, hey, I have intentions to leave, you know, I want to do this, this, and a third. And now that the news is coming out right after Arsenal gets their striker, Man U gets their striker, and everyone gets their striker, it seems like it's bad timing, right? Mm. Whereas he had already said it since before the season came, before the season even ended. So yeah. I can understand where he's coming from. I think that he should just calm down, eventually play, and go from there. Fans are fickle. Once you start
agreed, scoring, goals, agreed. They're even saying the Newcastle fans will never be able to win them over. No, once you start scoring goals again, what will they say?
2 goals, 3 goals, my guy, everybody's going to forget it. Mm. It happened to Harry Kane when Harry Kane wanted to leave. It happened with Suarez when Suarez wanted to leave. The difference is we are now in like an even bigger media age where there's social media, there's so many angles like news can come.
There's one small difference though. I wish just for his own profession, the way his optics, I wish he did not stop training. That thing.
And go to his former team and train and all.
Yeah, he stopped training and stopped training up at all. I wish he had like said what he said and, you know, made his stance clear, but just kept training at least. Because despite the fact that I agree with him overall, I don't forget this institution to a club sometimes. Like, they say everybody has numbers, but just for the sake of the fans and whatnot, at least kind of still look professional, regardless, you know. Like, he can always still leave. I don't think it's the way he's going about it that is kind of looking a bit.
Yeah, so everyone is saying you have a contract to fulfill, and all that also makes sense. So I can't argue with that part of it. But at the same time, I don't know what sort of gentleman's agreement they had that Newcastle was not agreeing to, but we'll see.
Doesn't Hoyland have a contract to fulfill? Why was he on the bench? Not even on the bench. Why was he like sidelined in a big game, even when he trained in preseason? So it's like, it's always fun when, you know, the teams have to. It's always like the player is a snake or this or that when they want their own thing. But when the club wants to like cut you off, nobody cares. Like, Hoyland is not injured. He didn't throw the first.
Huh? I feel like clubs. Most times, it's always in the player's contract, if anything. And I'm not supporting clubs or supporting players. I think most of the time, what people, like, these guys are very rich. So I'm very sure if there were legal implications to doing some of these things, they will not just be chucking it inside.
Yeah.
But I feel like whatever you people wrote on the contract, because sometimes they put these clauses in where, oh, the player has to play whatever minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't include that in your clause, and the club says you're not good enough, that was the contract you signed. And if it was included in your clause and the club actually does not play you, then it's like you can actually take legal action against them. And I don't think the club would do something like that. So just coming from that angle, just whatever you agree to do and whatever you define legally, you guys just do it, man. Like,
he should just fire his agents. He should definitely fire his agents.
Or more than Osimhen, but yeah.
Both, because he could have even leaked news if he was really eager to leave. That's what me I have done, sure. From the beginning of transfer window, I've leaked news that guy.
Anyway,
I can't buy one Liverpool jersey like this.
As long as he doesn't go to Liverpool, I'm good. So he should just stay where he is and start playing again. Regardless of if he goes on, like, Liverpool's attack is already strong as hell anyway.
It's already so strong. I would take, give me Gakpo. I would take Gakpo. Fuck.
Yeah, I feel like they need him. Not like they need him.
They have a backup striker, though.
They don't have a backup, exactly.
They don't have a backup, no. Gakpo could go into that striker, but then I also, who are their wingers?
Yeah, so
they don't have any replacements.
They have to depend on that kid, Rio.
Oh, he's still too young.
Yeah, like, I think they kind of, they low-key need him, funny enough.
If low-key need a winger, yeah, that's all, or like a forward, at least.
Yeah, they actually need another forward, right?
Wait. What are you saying, Roger?
I was saying they actually do need another forward. Was there some echo there?
Yeah, they're actually looking very light up front. No, you're not. You're good.
Yeah, they are.
Words, Gakpo,
Chiesa.
Salah. Chiesa's leaving,
though. Chiesa should stay.
I think he did a U-turn.
I saw this when he scored. They're like, what might be his last Liverpool appearance? You know, that's...
Yeah, I thought so. I heard news coming out that he's determined to fight for his place, too.
Oh, okay, fair.
I mean, if he stays, that would be good for them, because it looks like he's getting a bit sharper, at least. But anyway,
getting back to Chiesa level, to like his former level, if they can get that guy back to his former level,
that would be a good that would be a good signing. Their game though, so okay, there's time to move on to Premier League. Liverpool's game, I had two thoughts on it. The attack, as long as they don't suffer any injury, is really good for sure. Same standard. Even though Salah is always Salah. He might not look good during the game, but he can always come up with something. Wait, someone, there's some noise.
Someone is, okay, I think it was Roger. Okay. Yeah, I think that their game was very, very attacking. I love the way Bournemouth played too, like Semenyo and even their defenders, bro. But I think Liverpool, like you said, they are great in attack too. But their, what they call the name, their defense is looking a little suspect now. And so
yeah, but even though maybe first game of the season.
But I think AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
I don't know if it's... I think for them, I worry if it's not just first game of the season. I think they look very... They look very suspect in transition. And I know the AC Milan game is not one to go by, you know, because it was preseason. But it kind of gave the same thing. Like, very good going forward. That's not a problem. But that transition defense is not looking like the best, because... Both their fullbacks play very high, right? Frimpong is always like that high. Kerkez himself has the propensity to go high as well. And on counter attacks, you could see how like Bournemouth were like, they were just going, like they were just stream, like it was like a straight line to their goal. And I saw that in preseason too. How they fix that, I'm not sure. Maybe when Gravenberch comes back.
Yeah,
they'll be less open.
I think Gravenberch will be a big help for that.
Yeah, definitely be a big help for that. But they look very open in transition defense.
They'll bench Szoboszlai.
Probably.
Or McAllister, one of them. I don't know how they're going
to
do
that. In that specific game, if I was to take off someone, I'd have taken off Wirtz, not Szoboszlai.
I don't know. He was still doing flicks and tricks and all those things, but he. I don't know where he thought he was. He thought he was in his village, but it wasn't.
He looked like a best player. Looked like the best player on the pitch besides Semenyo.
Yeah, very good.
Rogers, you have any thoughts?
On Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
I completely agree with what we said about their fullbacks, their wingbacks. Frimpong is such an attacking-minded player. They're going to get caught out there. Even in terms of height and physicality, Frimpong won't be able to compete in this league that well. I mean, who's the Ghanaian boy, Lamptey? He's basically a better Lamptey, you know?
Actually, that's true, yeah. I remember...
It just doesn't work with this type of league and all as well. And then Kerkez did not look too comfortable. I don't know what you guys thought of, especially playing your old team. You would think, you know, you're out here trying to get something, but no, I didn't see him looking too comfortable. I definitely think their defense is going to be sus, like y'all were saying. They're very top heavy. They're just top heavy in general.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Maybe Kekrez just nervous. You know, some people bowl out against their old team.
That's fair as well.
I think it's hard to make decisions or, you know, conclusions on game week one.
Yeah. No, so, true.
But, yeah.
And so we can keep that same energy for Gyökeres, right?
Yep, that was well going to go to next. Actually, I want to talk about Chelsea first. A lot of people had Chelsea as their favorite to win the league goal.
Yeah, that's fine.
That part is crazy. So,
but honestly, judging by the weekend, the only team that looks like potential maybe champions might be Man City. But then again, who they play is important. They play, Wolves are terrible. Wolves are terrible.
Bulo. Guy, they didn't play that badly in that game.
Apparently, that game was... I didn't watch the game. I watched the highlights. But apparently... Like, of course, it was 4-0 and it looked bad. But, like, apparently they had chances to, like, really harm City.
Wolves has one African boy, Muntari or something. Bro, that boy.
The black boy on the right?
Mm-hmm. That boy is a menace, bro. That guy presses anything. 90 minutes.
He presses everything.
Bro, they had the guy scored, like, I think he scored 2 goals, actually. He scored one header. But it was offside.
Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think Wolves... I think Man City is actually... they might be
Man
back
City,
to the
Man City, are, Man City are good. That Reinders boy. Jesus. Gundogan. They have another Gundogan right there.
I think for Man City, right, before I know they're back, is in the big games. And for Arsenal, before I know they're winning the league, when I see them against like small teams that are not and they're not drawing, you know, that's like the test for both teams are different for me. I think Man City, I feel that these guys are going to like flog any mid to low level team, but I don't know how strong that midfield is when you face like a Liverpool, when you face a good Spurs team, when you face a full strength Spurs team. I don't know how Man City do, and Man City historically have a problem with Spurs. So I'm curious to see how they do, how that back line holds with a serious team.
I think if they get Donnarumma in their squad, they'll be very solid. And the main thing, Shai, is Rodri coming back. So this is their squad, looking at them the way they are playing. If Rodri slots in for that, I forgot his name, Nico Gonzalez. And you have a midfield of Rodri, Reinders, and whoever. Like, bruh, that midfield with the Oscar Bob boy, the way all those guys are moving, their subs. Yeah, it would be... I mean, first, against a bigger team, it will still definitely... Their defense will be peppered. And that's what I'm saying, Donnarumma, because I feel like that guy is a shortstopper.
They spend the money on Trafford.
The Trafford guy too is pretty good though. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not terrible, but I just feel like for those one-off chances where it's like a really good chance, you really need a really good save. Donnarumma can do those things for you.
I think Donnarumma is the opposite of what Pep stands for.
Yeah, Enrique is Pep's this thing. So, boy. So I would. I feel like their philosophies are probably similar.
Similar, yeah. I don't know if Donnarumma is...
I saw the rumor, though, but that's probably not Pep's idea. Maybe somebody...
Somebody, yeah. Like, it's an obvious big keeper, big team. Okay, they should probably mesh. But I don't know if Pep... Pep is the big...
Opposite of...
Yeah, he's the biggest inventor of or exponent of keepers playing the ball on the ground or, you know, ball-playing goalkeepers. And Donnarumma is not... It's not top 3 or top 5 in the world for that.
That's fair, but I mean, if you can, I guess some players can evolve. But that's true, Sharp. That's the opposite of. I mean, that's part of why he's having troubles with this PSG and them.
Although he's too young, though. He's still at an age where he can learn. He's like 25, 26.
Yeah. Guys, he has like 10 years, bro, at least. If he can learn how to pass.
but anyway, about what's his name again? City. They struggled with some games like this last season though. So I think it's a safe bet to expect them to be in and around that title places, if I'm being honest. I know they will be there at this point. Well, the next Chelsea's game is another one where I'll just like not really I don't know how to rate it because of you guys were involved in the World Cup and everything. So everyone just looked like they were still looking at how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Palmer and everybody. So I can't really make much. I can't say anything for them, to be honest. It seemed like a very drab 0-0 draw.
No, I watched that game in its entirety, obviously. It did seem like a lot of players were just trying to get back to match fitness, which is a bit annoying because I would think that the fitness issue would come into play later on in the season for us.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, because we had, of course, us and PSG had the shortest holiday. And if you saw PSG's first game, they rested a big chunk of their first team. Like, Dembele didn't start. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was only Vitinha and maybe Pacho. They rested a lot of their starters, and they can afford to. Well, Chelsea can't afford to do that in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our players were, especially in the first half, a lot of our players were a bit like out of it. But to be fair, Crystal Palace is not a joke. They didn't lose to Liverpool. They competed with them. They competed heavily with Man City as well. Oliver Glasner is one of the best coaches in the league, if we are being very honest. And that stretches from his days at Frankfurt, right? When he won the Europa League. Oliver Glasner is not a joke. So I was impressed with the out of possession play for Crystal Palace. I thought their center backs wouldn't press high because feature of that, their back five is that, you know, they tend to like sit a bit deep with, especially with the center backs. But the center backs in this game, especially Gehi, they were pressing very, very high. They're pressing very, very high on, and they were going man to man. Physically, they were better in the first half. They were physically better. And for technicality, Chelsea and VAR, Chelsea were lucky.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that rule.
I actually thought it was because of a foul, and that to me would make more sense. But that rule has been there. It didn't just come out of nowhere. It's just,
yeah, but that was my first time hearing of it.
So yeah. I was happy that it was our game. They used it to start. But then the second half was better because we have a gem in Estevao. Was a wonderful player, or is a wonderful player, and he's only 18. Got the team like playing faster, more electric. That's added more legs with Andre Santos.
Estevao, right?
It's not Estevao. It's Estevao. It's not Estevao.
I knew his name was Estevao. I don't know what happened.
Estevao.
His name has two accents. But yeah.
Man, I think Chelsea, honestly, I don't know. Cole Palmer is a baller. I'm not going to talk shit on him, but the fact that they are saying him, even Saka Gonsef, those guys have not scored open play goal in a bit. Like, and I just feel like
that's true.
We need to put more respect on guys like Salah and even all the Semenyo and all these guys, honestly, because these numbers that Salah be pulling in the Premier League is crazy. Like, even Haaland. That guy is a unit. Like, those guys are like elite ballers. And people need to start respecting and stop just anybody. They'll start saying, oh, anybody is competing with them. Like,
that's true. I agree. I think the longer Salah goes, the more we have to, like, just. Like, the last goal that they scored.
Who scored?
Liverpool. The last goal they scored.
Weak foot, right?
Weak foot, 90-something minute of the game. He's a 30-plus player. Like, he could have passed, he could have done one and called it a day, but he's like, nah. That is a proper player.
Roger, do you have any thoughts?
On just the longevity and such, or?
On Chelsea?
Oh, yeah, this is Chelsea. I mean, I thought we were talking about Salah now, but Chelsea in general. Chelsea, you're not winning the title. Let's be honest there. Your defense is not good, but I will say, in terms of your midfield and your strike force or your offensive force, that is looking pretty good. I also want to see João Pedro a little more in this setup in the Prem, just because I've seen him in Brighton as well. And he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he was a little bit inconsistent at Brighton. I'm excited to see Stavo as well. But in terms of Chelsea's defense, I do not trust your defense at all. I don't know, Sam, if you think differently. Do you trust your defense?
No. We have Levi Cole is out practically for the season.
Yeah, it's an ACL tear, right?
Yeah, it's an ACL, yeah. So
he's done. You signed Hato, which Arsenal was linked to forever, and I don't understand what happened there, too.
Do you want another defender?
You're right. And Mosquera's looking fine, but Chelsea, they're a decent team, but to win the Prem, and I know they're still a young team, not to have a solid defense or a veteran in the back. And also, is Sanchez still the goalkeeper?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is bound to give you at least 4 or 5 errors leading to goal season. So that's another thing too. You can't win the league with a keeper like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, my prediction for Chelsea was finishing third this season. Personally,
I think top five is very realistic for Chelsea.
I actually had them. I know my route is out. My top six were really wild, but I did have Chelsea and Arsenal top two. Interestingly.
Top two.
I mean, it's only game week one.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. With code STAPLE20.
Is that a game?
There's nothing. There's no.
At Arsenal 5, Chelsea 2nd.
There are multiple seasons where the person that starts game week one or wins the league loses game week one. There's no. I don't think it's like clear cut to make it.
No, of course. Now.
My own prediction for Chelsea is actually finishing third. That's my. I'm not getting carried away with the league because I feel like to win the league or to be in the conversation. For winning the league, like seriously, not a 2-month, 3-month, not a 2-month spell of, oh, are they going to win the league? I think you need to crack 80 plus points, right? And that means you have to consistently beat teams that are lower than you, and you can't afford like draws like Chelsea had today, right? Or game week one. So I think Arsenal as a unit have already, I think Arsenal they consistently have done that. I do think they're not winning the league too as well, but that's for other reasons. I think Arsenal know how to crack 80 plus points. The team already does that. Liverpool know how to crack 80 plus points. City, of course, the number one team that cracks 80 points plus points. I bet, you know, they're coming back to form. Maybe we'll see what they can do. But I don't think Chelsea have shown how to do that, that they can do that in a long time. The last time we even looked that way, we had a completely different team, completely different ownership, completely different lineup. And that was like 2021, and we're still like 79 or so under Tuchel. So till Chelsea do that, I'm not going to get you know, I'm not going to get too hyped for that. But yeah, my prediction was for us to finish third too as well. Now in Champions League, that's a different dance. I was thinking we'll go deep.
I can see. I'm considering swapping Chelsea for Man City on my prediction, but it's okay. Anyway, let's move to. I kind of want to go through the Arsenal versus Man U, but like, yo, this guy's game blew my mind. Tottenham, like the connection between Richarlison and Kudus, that was wild.
Yeah, I think Kudus is a baller. I don't know why Arsenal didn't even go for him. He and Semenyo are one of the two ballers, and that's what I'm saying. Semenyo just signed contract, but
I would have preferred like Semenyo over Kudus, in my opinion.
What'd you say? Yeah, I'll take Semenyo over Kudus.
Kudus is too much of a Saka profile, in my opinion. Just the way he plays, holds up the ball. I just feel like Semenyo is a little less predictable just because of the two-footedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Kudus is heavily reliant on that left foot.
Left, yeah. And that's what I was looking at. Those crosses, like, low-key, I mean, even the second cross, bro, that was, I mean, it was a nice cross, but I don't think his crossing accuracy with his right is as good.
I don't think so either. Yeah. The second one was the one he had the scissor kick assist.
Scissor kick, yeah. It went behind him. It went behind him. Richarlison just improvised. Yeah, so.
Richarlison made that cross look way better than it was. And then also even the first goal, it was a drag back cross on the ground, right, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't world-class crosses. I'm not going to shit on my Ghanaian boy here. I'm not. But
no, he's a baller. I don't think crossing is a strong suit.
African Cup of Nations that you're not going to.
Oh my gosh.
Yo, if AFCON comes on, Man U's in trouble. That's a lot of the important players, the AFCON players. Oh, yeah,
that's crazy, actually.
Anyway, let's go to Man U Arsenal. Let me give my thoughts on that, Man U Arsenal, honestly. I think we played we didn't play as well as I had hoped we played, but we played as badly as I expected us to play against Man U in Old Trafford. I can't lie, because I can't remember when last we went there. In fact, the last time we went there and balled out, we actually destroyed them. We lost 3-1. So I never know what to expect in Old Trafford. I noticed we, like, just like preseason, we tried to create a lot of transition situations in the first half, especially. Like, we kept playing long balls. Raya didn't always pass to defenders, just went long a lot of the time and just tried to force the situation. Maybe to try to get the best out of Gyökeres, or that's probably the reason. But that needs a lot of work. A lot of our attackers, we're not moving well. Their movements, either the movement is bad or the pass or the final ball is bad. It was one thing or the other. Gyökeres, I felt really bad for him. Honestly, I wouldn't even put too much blame on him like that, because I think he was trying. But I personally feel Martinelli and Saka did not help him at all. Out of all the attackers, Odegaard actually tried the most, but he needs to work on the quality of his final ball. But at least he tried. I don't know what Martinelli was doing. That's probably one of the poorest games I've ever seen from Saka. It was until the end of the game. But personally, for the fact we won, I think I have a lot of hope. I mean, I'm a glass half full, not half empty. Because that means there are a lot of things to improve on, for sure. But at least we won the game, so can't be too mad.
I think I think it's the start of the season. So Saka was looking off. My thing was, you're saying Odegaard played well. I mean,
he didn't play well. I think he played better than the rest of our entire attackers. I think he was at least he tried. He tried things.
Yeah, but he lost, bro. And I think that's part of it. Like, the level that we need to be at to win all these games is not like, because it's not like we didn't get the space to create chances, and maybe that will just improve over the season, hopefully. But like, I don't think we took advantage of the transition periods, at least that we had.
there were a couple of times where it was like 4-4v3 and we couldn't connect the pass. Like there were times where it was Gyökeres, the four of them, Gyökeres, Odegaard, Martinelli and Saka running. And Odegaard would run with the ball, kick it away. And I'm like, that is a 4v3. If you cannot score a 4v3.
Wait, so like, I have a question. If it's the exact 4v3 that I'm remembering you're talking about, where they were...
Not just one, there were multiple. Yeah. Which one? Okay, yeah.
There's one I saw in particular.
The one with Odegaard in the middle, Saka right, Martinelli on the left.
Somebody with the ball running faster than people without the ball. That made no sense to me. Both Saka and Martinelli were slower than Odegaard with the ball. Gyökeres was the only one in four. This was a very predictable pass. So I think this guy could have invented his run a bit better. And Saka looked damn lazy on that specific counter-attack.
Yeah, to be fair, I'll give it like some of these guys, even Saka really was not on top form. So given that, I can't just be saying, Odegaard this, Odegaard that. Part of my issue is Martinelli. The 4v3 I was talking about was the one with... So it was Saka, and then Martinelli was on the right wing, I think. And this guy literally just kicked the ball. He was trying to pass to Odegaard or something, and he kicked the ball away. And I was like, bro, like, how do you lose the ball like that? Like, but yeah, it's just, I think we definitely, if we don't sign another player, we probably will be saying the same story. Because honestly, no, seriously, because we are saying,
I'm just happy he's here because he threatened to leave Arsenal if they don't get. To...
No, that's why I really can't talk.
Week that he wasn't going to be here anymore if Arsenal didn't get 3 points.
Bro, no, and that is fair, honestly, and that's why I can't really say what I want to say for him. But at the same time, it's like, I just think this is evident that even if like our first team is not really spot on, who are we going to bring on? Madueke. And it's not like Madueke is terrible. But man, I think we still need to sign players. I know we don't sign anybody, Sha. One injury, we are back to the story of somebody injured, that's why something happened. And so yeah.
Didn't we extend Trossard today?
What'd you say?
I'm saying that. Did you just give him more money? Trossard?
No, we gave him more money to stay, apparently.
So we extended him. Really?
Right. No. It's still the same contract length.
Oh, yeah. They retain the contract length, but they're apparently increasing his money. So.
I think what I read is that they said this is not an extension. Explicitly.
So.
Why don't you sell him? The new main boy is vexed.
Just increase. It's good. They increased the money. He just said this is not an extension. I was like, okay. Why did you have to say that?
But what's the benefit of that though?
Maybe it's a promise they promised him before. I don't know.
What do you mean they just gave him more money? I'm confused.
Yeah. this is a question for Better and the Cronkies. I mean, at them they handle contracts. But that was a very weird news I saw this morning. Like, what? I thought we were trying to sell him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why are you giving him more money when you're trying to sell him?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they want to sell
Matt. Yeah, on The Athletic, they have it as a contract adjustment, increasing his salary, but not extending the deal beyond its previous expiration of 2027.
So are they increasing his salary so he accepts a more rotational role?
I guess. Maybe.
I guess that could be it. This guy, he work for Arsenal, though. Roger. But anyway, Man U played really well. But then again, I also don't know how to judge the match, per se. Is it that Arsenal just let them enjoy your play a lot, or they've actually gotten better? I think they've gotten better to an extent, but I don't know how much better they've gotten like that.
To play devil's advocate for Man U, right, because this is a pro-Arsenal meeting.
No, today. I think Man U, like I said before, I actually have them top eight ish. I think they can be a better last team for sure. And those attackers, I think they are kind of scary. Even though they didn't score, but Mbeumo looked really good. Cunha as well. especially that run earlier when I ended up passing to Raya. That actually had my bro. I was scared. I had my heart entered my ears like this. when he ran through on goal, guy, I was really scared.
Wasn't Bremo or Cunha?
Cunha. There's one that he just took.
It was Cunha when it just bounced off.
He got yeah, it. He bounced off this guy. I was very surprised. He should have shot that better because that was a good chance.
I was so surprised how rudimentary like Arsenal's press was bypassed. Like they just kept going over the top and winning the second balls. Yeah. I was like, this is terrible. This is like a Manchester United team who I do not rate in build up is actually like bypassing Arsenal's press. And Arsenal are known for having one of the best presses in the world. It's also feeding into why I don't think Arsenal win the league. Now, Manchester United didn't create any big chance, right? They played very, very well, had more XG, had more possession, which is alarming to Arsenal fans. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'm happy for the win that you won. If I were an Arsenal fan, I'd be happy that you won ugly, right? Which is usually like a symptom of, you know, being a title challenger or title contender. You can win ugly and then, you know, in the other games, probably.
You win the exactly.
But if we were to just go off, the other side of that is that, for me, is that I haven't seen Arsenal lose possession, like concede possession in a game for that long in a while. Right?
Except the red card against Man City.
Of course. But even at that game, like Arsenal didn't feel like they were going to lose. So it was telling that you lost on XG, you lost on possession. Now, while Manchester United didn't create any big chance, like they had literally zero big chances, you guys only created one. Only one. Which means that the game was more or less even. I think there's a creative problem that has been there since the end of last season that Arsenal need to fix. I don't know how they're going to fix it. I don't know, maybe it will adjust over time, you know, like with more games inside and people are, you know, getting up to speed. Then maybe those Odegaard passes that are not connecting will eventually connect. Maybe those runs will be faster. Maybe those timings will be better. But there's no guarantee that it will be, which is why if I were an Arsenal fan, that would be the other side of the fear. Like, we're still not playing very well. We're still not creating enough chances. Our goal was honestly a goalkeeping error. So I'd be concerned. I'm like, it's still not clicking enough. There were not enough chances for Gyökeres. There were not enough shooting chances for him either. Like, that's why I'm like, you have to really, really blow hot first. Like, obviously you need a solid defense, right? To win the league. You can't win the league. Like Roger said, if your keeper isn't solid, I'll add, if your center backs are solid, there's no league for you. Just forget.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Yeah. But another part of it, I think you guys have now reached towards the end of that 3-year cycle. I don't know if you remember, there was an episode that we did that I said, like, in my opinion, a lot of big teams have a 3-year cycle of being elite. Whether they win trophies or not, it depends on the team, right? But really, really, truly being elite, I think you have a 3-year cycle. I think Arsenal at the end of that 3-year cycle, and it showed in the way you were pressing. There was not as much intensity. There was not as much running. There was not as much speed. And you guys started shifting back allowing the pressure to come. At some point, it was looking like Man U were playing a smaller team. So that's my only concern. I don't know if, and it's going to have to be on Arteta, to be honest. He's going to have to figure out a way to get around this. But that'd be my major concern, that your chance creation has honestly kind of slowed down or dried up. So yeah, that's my own opinion.
Yeah, I think they need to work on that, especially like with the chemistry with the front team. Because especially if we're not going to play the same way. I think it became better when Harvest came on, honestly. I guess because it's a relationship they are used to. But why I agree that teams do tend to come to the end of their cycle, but I think we're at the start of a new kind of. It's not like it's not a new team, but it's kind of a new team since we're trying to play a different way. So I disagree.
There needs to be
a bedding in period. I think they need to build that relationship with someone like.
I think that phases. We're in phase one again.
Not like phase.
This is a new era.
I don't think so, though. For the phase, era, don't you have to lose or change your core players? Your core is still the same.
No. I'm saying with the way Arsenal is trying to play now, I think we are trying to play a different style to accommodate a different type of attackers. So people like Madueke or Gyökeres, and then even Zubimendi. So I think from what I saw, I think it's less of a, especially from this match and from the friendly games I watched, I think it's less of a, we're at the end of the cycle thing, and more of a, we are trying to change,
integrate new players,
tweak a style, our style of play to fit someone like Gyökeres, who is going to be the goal scorer we want. I think that's what is more of than us coming to the end of our cycle. Because I mean, and then again, guys, this is the first game of the season. So.
I 100% we'll agree. Can you guys hear me right now? I'm having connection issues.
You're here. Yeah. We can hear you.
Yeah. I definitely agree with the fact that I think, it's less of that three-year phase, more of a stylistic change. As an Arsenal fan, Sam, you probably are not watching every game in, game out for Arsenal and how we play. But I will say every season we've played differently. Every first game of every season, I'm like, this is not what we were doing this season before. So I definitely think Arteta is trying to switch up the style a bit to accommodate, yes, players. But I also think, honestly, how we played this past Sunday was specifically for Man United at Old Trafford. There's a certain way you have to play at that stadium. I even kept saying, and I think someone, because we were at Brewhouse Cafe, and I said something along the lines of it's tactical. And then someone was like, no, he's just playing shit balls. But every time the ball was in the air 50-50, Odegaard or someone, they're not even bringing the ball down to control the game. Everyone was just knocking it back up for a 50-50. I'm like, I don't recognize the
That's
club.
True, though. Now, like,
I think we're not trying to like pass the ball or control that game the way we usually do.
Yeah, I think we purposely were literally trying to create the most disjointed, non-flowing game as well. And I don't understand why, but it worked.
That's something, you know, I think part of that is because we scored early as well.
Yes, if we hadn't scored early, it would have been a different approach. Because even as Madueke came on as well, like, you could see he didn't have much offensive responsibility. In fact, he was playing as a left wing back, I would say, just to negate the 3-5 in the back that United plays. So if we didn't score early, it would have been a different game.
I think United, to be honest, they just judging by what they played us very well. Like,
yeah, I feel like not enough and, is given to them for this.
United actually looked very scary if they reached their potential, because the way these guys were switching the ball, if you don't have proper defenders, those ball, like Wemu was in acres of space 1v1 a lot of times. And it's like,
when you are able to like spread the ball and control the play, I don't know who the wing backs are. I think it was Mounts that was a big part of that, because maybe Mounts, I think,
was very crucial.
Mounts can pass long passes, and that's another thing that Bruno can probably do. But their long balls to the wing were spot on. Bring it down. They're 1v1 with the wing back, and those guys, those Cunha, they're tens. Once you put them 1v1 with the defender, they are getting the shot away. And best believe is on target. So just playing like that will make your attack very dynamic. Like, it's not just one wing. And we saw the trouble a lot. Like, Mbeumo I thought Mbeumo was not even up to par. Like, he could have killed us, honestly. And then Ahmad was just playing with Madueke there on the wing, just giving him, bro.
I saw that. I was at Brewhouse and they were like, oh, God. I heard people say, oh, my God.
I was just like, oh, my goodness. And that was, and Chidalu, that's my thing that I was telling you about, like a left defender. I don't know, maybe Sam, you can speak to this.
Mm-hmm.
But a left-footed player playing as a left back, like, wait, if it will be easier for the player defensively.
Okay, he's not a defender.
No, I get it, but that will even now make him struggle more.
It's funny because I think, like, he beat him on both sides. It wasn't only one time. He beat him, I think, the first time.
He find out good the other wing.
Yeah.
It's good that he tried to dribble. Ahmad took it from him.
Yeah. I think, but, in my opinion, I think, Man U played surprisingly, they played better than I thought. They played.
Is it too surprising?
Balls,
Is it too surprising? Last season they also played us quite well there.
I don't rate United, honestly. I it's only because it's not because it's just because I think for me, especially in modern football, unless you're elite at other ways of bypassing the press, mm-hmm. I like to see how you do against like teams that sit back, right? I think United and United fans will tell you, like, Bruno in that midfield. In that sitting midfield, is not, he gives the ball away too much.
Yeah.
Right. Ugarte isn't necessarily good enough. Casemiro actually had a wonderful game. I think the game initially was set up. Manu did a very good job of bypassing your press. So that by that logic too, you guys also start getting wary of those Mbeumo one on ones, Cunha one on ones, and yeah, you guys naturally started to sit back, which now allowed Manu to now start playing. You know, putting the pressure and crosses and all those things. So it was actually really good. I would judge United when I see them play smaller teams and I see them, even if not necessarily win, but consistently do create clear-cut chances.
Yeah.
So for all Manu's good work in that game, and they did very, very well, they didn't create, there wasn't really a chance that I was like, and I guess you're an Arsenal fan, so every chance that they shoot at you guys, you're scared. there wasn't really any chance. I was like, like, even that Raya save from Mbeumo's header. At first, you know, you're in the crowd, you're shouting, you're in the bar. It was like, hey! But when you now cool down, look, this is a double-handed save. Like, and the commentator says, it's a save he has to make. If he doesn't make it, then you have a basket in post. So I just don't feel like, again, it's only game week one, so everything should be taken with a grain of salt. Once I see them consistently create chances, you know, against teams that sit back or play strong mid blocks, then I'll be like convinced, like, okay, these guys, they're not joking.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm still like, okay, yeah, you played Arsenal, you're Old Trafford. Even last season, they were up for big games. They beat City now. Chelsea barely beat them at Stamford Bridge. They are still like a big club. So when they see another big team, it's on site. So that's why this Arsenal game was not going to be a 6-0 or a 5-0 beat. You know, don't know whoever expected that, but I want to see them in smaller or games that are not Arsenal, and we see. I think that'll be a better barometer to see how far they've come or how far they're going.
That's
agreed. I feel like they always turn up against Arsenal or bigger teams. Yeah. They have a habit of that since last season, even, and then. One thing, too, I want to chime in quickly. I don't think Amarin's, the tactics, they're not going to work in this league. The three in the back with the attacking wingbacks, I think there's a reason modern football has gone away. Did you see how Inter were demolished and dismantled in the Champions League final is just I have to read more into how like four in the back or modern formations work against the three in the back, but it seems like they're just gonna eventually get disassembled every single time they play. So that's my take.
Kind of like on that same preface before that, it will never work. But considering that's what Crystal Palace plays, and there are some teams that are still successful with that formation.
That's what Bayer Leverkusen play. I think it's more. Let me
push your point
up. Didn't Conte do that?
Yeah, Chelsea won the league with the back five, back three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yes, I think it just depends on one, the quality of players you have. It's heavily dependent on the profile of players you have. I think that kind of formation. And it's not a formation like I think the four defender in the back is more stable long term in terms of being able to find replacements. Like if you want that kind of like machine type club where anybody can enter for anybody. But for that three defenders in the back, you need very specific niche players that can offer you those offerings. And it's not as common to find those, like to find replacements for them. So that might be your issue. Because when you see players like them, Cunha and even João Pedro, and in my opinion, João Pedro is one of those two, but we'll get to that point. But those kind of players, they are strikers that really they play as a 10 and that's where they thrive. But no, they are not really strikers. Like you can't really play them as a striker. So those kind of players, like it's not every time that every club, like there are different profiles, different type of players that will fit into clubs. And I just think it will be harder to find those players. But if they can get like Baliba and honestly, yeah, really Baliba, maybe another midfielder. And maybe not even get Baliba, honestly. They can go for like this Wharton if they can get that guy.
Oh, that guy is good.
If they can get like Wharton and some other like midfielder, defensive midfielder that can hold it down. But I think they would be able to beat a lot of teams in the Premier League. Maybe they'll probably not win the Premier League, but top eight would not be a problem for them. midfield cover.
I agree with 50% of Roger's point, and I think I agree with 90% of Hawkeye's point. I agree that Amorim's tactics, right, are not, I don't know, I'm skeptical that they work in this league. But not for the reason that you said. I think a back five can definitely work in this league. But I think the way Amorim does his back five is what is my problem with it, right?
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's where I agree with Okwe's point on profiles, right? For me, watching a back three, especially even with Inter, right? I know Inter got smoked by PSG, but everybody got smoked by PSG. And that same Inter side beat Barcelona, right? Yeah. So I think that back fives can work. It's just like, so my problem, let me start with the Amorim thing, and I don't want to ramble too much.
Yeah.
Amorim plays, he ideally, and I know he didn't play it against Arsenal until later on, but he ideally plays Ahmad as the right wing back, right? And he also passed Mbeumo and a left-sided person there. So there's a lot of imbalance there. I think how I've seen back fives work is you have one athletic wing back and one technical wing back, right? Mm-hmm. A la Victor Moses, Marcos Alonso, Denzel Dumfries, and DiMarco at Inter. That type of pairing. That's how I've seen wing backs work because they give the width. And then, like Ope said, the 10s are 9s, but they're also 10s, that type of thing, right? Now, if you play them in a 4-3-3, it's not that they won't work, but then you are now forcing them to either be a complete 9 or be a 7 or 11. And maybe that doesn't really suit their profiles, right? So, to wrap it up, Sha, let me know, because I can talk about this a lot of the time, just because I've seen back 5s work at Chelsea so many times, and I've seen it in other teams. So I tend to ramble a lot about this one. But I just think, in summary, I think he definitely needs a midfielder. He needs a very robust midfielder in that middle. And I just think that the way he plays the back five, he needs a different wing back, a right wing back. It might not be Dalot.
I think he needs a real right wing back.
Yeah, it might not be Dalot because I don't think Dalot is dynamic enough. I don't think it's Ahmad either. If he makes that work, he'll be a miracle worker. So I just think it's the way he does his back fives and the profiles he has in that back five. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it will not work.
Yeah. Also, the center backs need to be people that are used to defending in the back distance three as well. Because, I mean, but they did well. This guy was really, really good. He handled Gyökeres as well. But I think Gyökeres just looks a bit clunky. Maybe they might have.
Gyök 14 was jamming.
Yeah, Delict looks really, really, really good against Gyökeres. I was like, Delict might be back.
But anyway, but then didn't he jam Delict and Delict fell down?
At some point, but then...
The 50-50, he threw Delict on the floor.
But eventually, Delict was winning most of the battles.
I'm surprised how strong he is, though, Gyökeres. Right?
He's very strong.
I didn't think he was as strong as he was.
But I don't know why he looks like... Maybe he's just not match fit here, but it looks like he needs to lose weight. But maybe it's match fitness.
I think part of Gyökeres' problem is... He prefers ground ball. He's not good. Like, I noticed he's not good with balls in the air.
Yeah.
Like, Havertz does way better than him in terms of those long balls. Because the same long balls that Raya gives Havertz is the same one he's giving Gyökeres. But Havertz has the ability to drop it to Odegaard more times than Gyökeres can. But on the flip side, Gyökeres can just, if you give him that throw ball one-on-one, yeah, and he has body to body. Anybody that is around him, you are dropping, you are going to the floor. he's going to body. But yeah, let me just drop it there.
Hey guys, it's time to wrap it up. Any last comments?
Gyökeres will bang. Don't worry. But I also do think he'll eventually lose weight. He's at Arsenal, bro. Just even, I don't think he needs to necessarily lose weight or he's not fit. But think about even Odegaard, how skinny the man is looking. So it's only time. But Gyökeres will be fine. I have faith. We'll see against Leeds this weekend, honestly.
If he Monday? Doesn't score against Leeds, there will be trouble, though.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't look bad, though.
He actually looks bad.
Against Everton.
I don't care anything. I don't care if it's beginning of the season.
Are we doing a week-to-week contract with you?
Week-to-week contract, bro. If your current doesn't score against Leeds, I'll look at you somehow, bro.
I agree. Does it score or assist?
I'll even assist. But you have to make a contribution in those kind of games. Like, come on.
Contribution.
Guys, it was nice chatting. Let's do this again next week. Hopefully Sunday. Yeah. When is Champions League starting?
For sure.
Next month.
All right, bet. All right, it was nice.
All right, cheers, y'all.
Have a good one.